Hello, everyone, and welcome to the PB&J podcast. I am the J, Jesse Hutmaker, joined by PB, Pat Butler. How you doing, Pat?
I had to bring back the theme song, I guess. doing well. I inadvertently hit a button there, and I guess we'll go with it. It was part of the intro.
We may have to write up that producer on that malfunction there.
I'll definitely put that in.
How have you been, my friend?
Doing well. Back home, got home late last night, and kind of easing into the day slowly today, a blustery fall day.
Perfect. We had our couple days of fall. We're back to summer, but supposedly fall is going to be returning this weekend. Pretty excited about it. I know that you get a long fall, and we're lucky if we get a week or two of fall. So any weather change here where the temperature goes low is always a nice thing.
Right on. We'll enjoy that, man, because it to me, it's a season to savor. I enjoy the fall transition.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about it is the pumpkin spice obsession people have.
It's crazy, man. I you know, listen, I tried that, pumpkin spice latte, whenever, a couple years ago, whenever they got rolling with it at Starbucks. But Jesus, man, it's taken over. I can't have that much pumpkin in my life.
You know, I mean, I don't mind pumpkin. I'm a big pumpkin fan, but I like it in June and July and March and April. You know, why is it just exclusively for the fall? I mean, I know we get pumpkins for Halloween and Thanksgiving and everything, but, you know, pumpkin should be a year-round thing.
You're right. We should celebrate the pumpkin a little bit more, broaden out the whole obsession and kind of spread the love throughout the year. I just don't know if I need it in my breakfast cereal, Jesse.
You know, I agree with you there. I don't think you need it in your breakfast cereal. I've seen other funny takes on feminine hygiene products and stuff too. It's out of control.
It is.
So what you been thinking about?
Man, you know, lately I have to tell you, I've been a bit, down, in a certain respect, just because I feel like, we're losing so many gifted, artists that have influenced the, music scene. And, I feel like the frequency rate is high right now.
Right.
And, it's starting to bother me. We're losing a lot of icons that you and I have grown up with. And I guess I'm wondering, you know, is it all happening at once? I mean, are we continually losing these artists? There is a frequency rate that high, or is it just a normal cycle of life?
You know, I was thinking about this actually yesterday. I had a rather long commute because I was helping out and working in another store. And, you know, the news of Fats Domino came, and it, you know, hit really close here because he's from here. He lived here. And, you know, he's kind of in the New Orleans Mount Rushmore music. He's definitely on it. And I too was thinking about that because, you know, we had Tom Petty a month ago, not even a month ago, Fats Domino, you know, the list goes on and on of who we've lost over the last couple years. And I was like, you know, it's sad to see these artists go, but also at the same time, I think we cling to the fact that we're still stuck in that 18 to 30 mindset where that's how old we are, and these guys are still, you know, these musicians that are right there with us and just a few years older, even though they are, you know, 20, 25 years older. And I think it's just really, it's the passing of time. And it just happens and it sucks, but I think it's just how it is. You know, they're getting older. They're older. Some of them have been taken down by, you know, illnesses that it's a losing battle. Some of them from old age, some of them from freak, you know, accidents. So.
No, I agree, man. I actually fully agree that I still feel like I'm in that time and that era of when music truly influenced me and pushed me into a new direction. And those artists shaped and molded, you know, the soundtrack to my life. And I guess in some ways I expected them to be immortal, to live forever and not age and continue to put out music like they did when they influenced us when we were younger. And so it's quite shocking to see them pass. But at the same time, you realize that many of them have lived full lives and been, you know, quite successful. And it's actually appropriate in the sense that it's a normal lifespan, man.
Right, right. You know, I mean, and I guess, you know, we'll just, I'll just throw Tom Petty out there, for example. You know, we grew up with him. And to me, he was like always the older brother next door type thing. He, you know, he was just enough older than us, but he was also still kind of close in our age, you know, same with Prince. You know, these are artists that were not our generation, but spoke to our generation. And so therefore we kind of take them as being in relative age to us. And, you know, it's sad that they go, but also it's like, you know, they've lived a full life, and as much as we'd like them to be here forever, and we would like to be here forever, or some of us would, it just happens, you know?
No, it does. And let's face it, not all the artists might fall into this category, but many of them have lived full lives in the sense that they, you know, as artists, they were around different substances and have abused their bodies in some ways, whether it be through drinking, smoking, or drugs. And many of them have been quite vocal and upfront about the use and abuse over the years. And let's face it, man, that's going to take its toll and actually, in many cases, shorten your lifespan. I mean,
oh yeah, exactly. I mean, you also got to remember that for most of them, they're traveling or were traveling, you know, 330 days a year in a van, in a car, whatever, going from town to town, getting little sleep. It takes a toll on you. And, you know, your lifestyle, your eating habits may not necessarily, or drinking habits may not necessarily be what they are in the normal everyday life. And that catches up. I mean, it does. I know when I go on vacation, it takes me a good week after getting back to kind of fully get myself back into a normal routine, a normal, you know, state, if you would.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I travel a lot for work. I have to. And it really does take its toll. I mean, today I'm slow to get around. You know, I mean, walked in the house after 11 p.m. last night. But when I started, I thought about this. I left the hotel. I was actually in Vail, Colorado for some meetings. I left Vail, drove 2 hours down the mountain to Denver, to DIA, waited at the airport, caught my flight, you know, caught the shuttle to my car, drove home. And from door to door, the time I left to the time I got home was 7 hours. But it was 7 hours of a lot of driving, commuting, shuttling around, waiting, you know what I mean? There was not a lot of downtime necessarily, and it takes its toll. And I can only imagine these artists were traveling city to city, night after night, having to put these gigs on and raise their energy level high and perform at a level that the fans expect. That takes its toll, and I can see why some of them have turned to substances to get themselves up or to deal with the fact that they're isolated on the road so much. So it's tough on you. I mean, I can only imagine their life.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, a lot of it, and especially from the 90s on, it's interviews at 9 a.m. for radio stations, or 8 a.m. or television appearances, or a late night television appearance. And, you know, so it's just that constant grind. And, you know, does it make their lifestyle choices acceptable? Well, you know, that's not our job to say whether it's right or wrong. You know, their job is to perform for us, and whatever it takes to do it, that's what they're going to do. And, you know, it's, I guess you either eventually pay the price or, you know, you become one of the lucky ones and keep going. I don't know.
I know it, you know, the artist that struck me, it was really weird, man. I thought about this a lot. It really bothered me when David Bowie died. And I'll tell you, yes, I'm a big fan, and I had the chance to see him one time. And I bought a lot of his records and listened to his music over the years. But what really bothered me about that, and I guess it's just me, but I truly felt he was someone that was immortal in many ways. He aged so gracefully that you didn't picture him aging. You didn't see him age in his photographs nor his interviews. I mean, he was performing still at a really high level in a lot of his recordings, even though he really didn't tour much towards the end. But I just never pictured that happening, and it really bothered me. I don't know why, man, but it really struck a chord with me, especially with him, because I never imagined that would have happened based on the image I had and how I perceived him. And I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does. But you know, I don't recall. Wasn't it like right at the very end we found out he had cancer, or was it? I mean, I didn't know. And again, I'm not like daily searching his, you know, fan pages and stuff like that. But I don't ever remember hearing about it.
No, from what I, and someone will probably correct me, AKA Tony. But from what I understand, they kept that, they downplayed it and kept it hidden. And even the photo shoot that he did, I think it was a day or a couple days before, the article was written, he looked amazing. I mean, just looked fantastic. And I know that was, he got himself up for the photo, obviously. But my goodness, he kept that thing hidden very well. And I think he wanted to, you know, hey, I give him credit, man. He wanted his privacy.
Right.
Hey, why not, man?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that one, but I think the Prince one too, that one. Yeah. That one got me, because here you have a guy who's, you know, has a relatively clean eating and drinking lifestyle. His death, that just is, you know, that was a freakish thing. But, you know, we didn't know that he was, if you believe what you read, that he had these hip problems that he was on pain meds for, but he had the hip problems because he was given 150 fucking percent every night for people, you know, and just kind of wields into his DNA, if you will, about things. And really bizarre. It's a shocking thing. And then you got people that, you know, lived a crazy lifestyle like the Motley Crue guys, and nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
this is true. And disclosure, I am a Crue fan. But it's interesting, though. I mean, here's what's interesting about the Crue, come to think of it. Nikki Sixx, who got himself clean and wrote a great book about it, and advocates very highly for getting yourself clean because of the damage it did to him and his family. But the other guys, man, they hit it hard, and you're like, how are you still standing? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I know if in high school you said, hey, let's bet on what artist is going to be alive in 2017. And there's no way I would have put those guys from Motley Crue over David Bowie or Prince, or, I mean, even Tom Petty to a certain extent, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have done it. That would have been, I would have felt foolish to take a bet like that, you know? But hell, if I would have went with the Crue, you know, I could be rolling in some dough right now.
Exactly. I don't know, man. It's a, you know, as you and I sit here and we've been able to, you know, live through some great music and decades of great music and artists that have influenced you and I as music fans, it's hard to deal with. It's hard to reconcile the fact that someone has lived a full life and they've passed on. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a, I don't want to get morbid. I don't want to do that, but it's, you know, it's a tough thing to deal with and accept that it's part of the, you know, the circle of life, if you will, but it's hard to deal with, man. And, you know, when I was a kid and I would watch the evening news, literally the evening news, because back then, obviously it wasn't the internet and the cable news networks that dominated. It was truly the evening news at 5:30. Occasionally they would focus on an artist or actor who had passed away, and they do a quick in memoriam of their life and kind of go over their career. And I always thought to myself, oh yeah, you know, they're so much older and that's too bad. You know what I mean? I wouldn't give it a lot of thought because I didn't grow up necessarily with that actor or artist. And now I have, and I'm like, oh shit, what's going on?
Right.
And I don't know, man.
Now, does it change the way you listen to the artist or band now?
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jesse. I do think that. And obviously, you see a maturity level as the artists, you know, age and put out music. But as I go back, I mean, I went back and listened to Petty, you know, right afterwards. I mean, I was like a lot of people. I started putting Petty music on, and same thing with Prince and same thing with Bowie. I mean, I listened to all that music, but I do listen to them a little bit differently, and especially some of the music they made, as you realize it was made towards the end of their life. You know what I mean? I think you can't help but do so in a certain way.
Yeah. I know like now whenever I listen to Bowie or Prince, it has a different feel for me. And I guess, you know, I would liken that probably to how our parents were, or the generation before us, when Elvis died and when John Lennon was assassinated. You know, it probably had a different meaning to them when they listened to it. You know, like we were both young when Jim Morrison and Janis Joplin passed away. So we grew up, they weren't with us, but you know, so we didn't know, we had no feel of the music, like from that era being alive or, you know, fully coherent to it when the music was made. So, you know, that whole thing with us, we didn't know. And, you know, I guess if you want to go back, like Kurt Cobain, you know, shortly after his issue, I guess it kind of made, for me, it made a lot of the songs have a completely different meaning. When you listen to what he's saying in them and putting everything together, it made it feel a little different. Now, I don't really think that we got that with Prince or Bowie, but it has a different meaning now when I listen to these songs from them. I kind of think about what if, or what was going on in their life medically at that time when they recorded this. When I watch a performance of them, I think about those things.
No, I agree, man. And obviously some of it, you know, they're making music towards the end. And something Bowie did, you know, his whole, that, what is it? He actually foreshadowed everything, but he had kept his cancer so secretive that he could put out a record. And honestly, even though I've listened to his final album, I don't want to listen to it.
Right.
I'll be honest with you. I don't want to listen to it only because I want to celebrate the music that I grew up with and was influenced by. And I don't know, man. I do listen to that music differently, though. I mean, and think, what if? I mean, you mentioned Kurt Cobain, and at the time when that happened, that really bothered me because I was such a big fan, and still, I feel robbed in some ways because I wanted to see where his career was going to go as a songwriter.
Right. I totally agree with you on that one. You know, and I guess, you know, I mean, I don't know. How long ago did Johnny Cash die?
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, that one was, we kind of saw it coming, you know?
Right.
But listen.
And with Cash, do you think this is, I think this is pretty fascinating. I mean, if you look at his career, man, he hit a really low point professionally and was kind of lifted back up. And I think he was making some great music towards the end.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, what a resurrection and a defining moment for him to make that great music towards the end. I still think that's amazingly impressive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he truly did go out with a bang. And, you know, I think that was a combination of him picking some awesome songs to cover. You know, people have their opinions on Rick Rubin, but I tell you, those are so stark and raw albums that I have to give him something for not glossing it over and just letting it go and letting it be the way it is. And I think that makes everything that much more haunting, going back and listening to him and knowing that, you know, he was really staring death down. And so it makes it that much more powerful for me. I don't know. And it makes me have to change my songs to be played at my funeral list occasionally.
That's right. That's right. We may have to revisit that, by the way.
Definitely. I'm not sure if I want the light show anymore.
No. Yeah.
Let's keep it simple.
All right. Well, as we kind of transition the show, let's transition into the punch list. What's been on the list this week for you? Let's start off with what have you been watching, man?
Well, I will admit that when the news of Tom Petty, the first thing that came into my mind was him and Stevie Nicks. And then, as it would happen, the next day at work, the first song that came on the radio, or came on the music at work, the Spotify or whatever the hell it is that we listen to, was Gypsy. And so I just was singing that song, and I looked it up to kind of look at the lyrics, and just being stupid, I know it didn't have anything to do with Tom Petty, but then I saw there was a TV show. So I was like, whoa, I have to watch this. So we watched that show, and man, I'm not sure what the hell. That show has me fucked up, I'll tell you that. Beth and I finished watching it a few nights ago. Yeah, maybe it was last week, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, I don't know. And just last night, she said, "What the fuck?" And I'm like, "I know." It's like just in the middle of nothing, like just having this conversation. She's like, "What the hell is going on in that?" And you know, it's and of course it got canceled, so there's no there's no real finality, but the final final season finale to that. How about you?
I believe I've lightened things up a little bit from that. Although now I'm questioning whether I did, because I started watching Mindhunter on Netflix. That kind of, so far so good. I'm early into it, but it delves into the mind of a serial killer. An FBI agent is kind of digging into that whole process of what goes on in a serial killer's mind. Interesting so far, and couple that with the resurgence of The Walking Dead coming back and the all-out war that's taking place. And I'm curious to see if they're going to elevate the series, because the series kind of hit a little bit of a low point. And I'm curious if this all-out war is going to bring it back. We shall see.
Now, on that Mind Hunter, is that like true? Is it real?
No, I mean, at least I'm far enough in. I shouldn't say I'm far enough in. I'm early enough into it that I haven't seen that they're really lacing in any true to life characters. So far it hasn't shown me that. So someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Now, Walking Dead, that's zombie stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. What are you listening to?
All right. Well, I'm actually been listening to Chris Stapleton. I'm kind of fired up. He's going to be in town. It's about 2.5 weeks from now, 3 weeks at the most. And I'm kind of fired up. I really am curious about him, man. I like his voice a lot, and I like what he's done as a songwriter, and I want to see him live to see how he puts it all together. I've heard a lot of great things, and I just want to see it come together.
Yeah. The couple times he's been here, the tickets, the prices are ridiculous, so I haven't got a chance to see him. I would like to. I've been listening to the new Margot Price, along with Fats Domino, of course. But new Margot Price, it's a really solid follow-up. And it's the lyrics on it are pretty solid, pretty relevant. And I really got to see her. She's coming here with John Prine. That I got to figure out how to go see that show.
Nice. That'd be fantastic, man.
Yeah. Reading. What's you been reading?
I think I mentioned it last time, and I'm still going with it. I'm still into The Glass Castle. Really interesting look at this woman's life and her very dysfunctional family and how she and her siblings managed to live through it. So really great book, man. And I've used it on the plane, so I've kind of taken my time with it, but great stuff. How about you?
I'm not going to lie. I'm just catching up on the magazines. And in nerd speak, I've been reading a lot. We're looking at getting a new mattress, so I've been doing research on that too. But, you know, I let the Rolling Stone magazine and Time and what other crap we get here. I let it build up, and then I burn through them and skip stuff, read stuff. So it's been magazines. Now, I know you're in Colorado for the week. Did you take in any good beer out there?
I did. I was in Vail, Colorado, and I specifically made it a point to visit Vail Brewing Company. And they have a brewery there, but then Vail's kind of divided into a couple different areas as you head down the highway and up the mountain. They have a tasting room right in the town center of Vail, and that's where I sampled several of their beers. And they had some really nice stuff, man. It was great to try their beer finally and to do so in Vail. So Vail Brewing Company, thank you very much. I paid the price the next day, but it was worth it.
It's at altitude. It gets you. That's why you can drink more here. We're below sea level, so it doesn't affect you as much. Or so they say. I don't know. Sounds good to me. I've been keeping it local, going with Wayward Owl again. It's probably one of my favorites for Louisiana. You know, top two, top three. Always have great service when we go to the tap room, and they have awesome cans. They do a really, really great job of making sure that their cans are distinctive. Each beer, of course, has a different can. Really great graphic art on there. So it's Wayward Owl for me.
Very cool, man. Very cool.
And we'll take you there next time you're here because it's close to us.
I'm down with that. Never going to turn that down. Well, as we wind things down, we want to thank everybody for joining us. You know, we like to keep things nice and tight and have a good conversation, but we encourage you to go back. And since we've shifted over to Podbean, you're able to access some of our previous episodes, and we're going to be putting some best ofs that we want to transition over to Podbean. And so enjoy that. And as always, Jesse, thank you, man. Great conversation,
thank
my
you.
Friend.
Yeah, you too.
Let's keep these artists alive. as always, the PB&J podcast is a Find the River production. We look forward to talking to you soon. Take care, everybody.